Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to read one verse tonight, and then I want to talk to you tonight. I'm going to say this. I don't plan on preaching at you tonight. It doesn't mean I'm not going to get excited. I can get excited at two doodle bugs walking down the road, amen? But I want you to listen and pay attention. It will help you tonight. Isaiah chapter 60, we're going to read verse number 18 together. Let's read it all together in unison. Then I'll pray and we'll jump into the message tonight. Isaiah chapter 60, 60, verse number 18. Adriana, you've never been close. All right. Isaiah 60, verse number 18. Ready? Here we go. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. And let's pray. Father, for the next 30, 35 minutes or so, would you help me? Lord, I'd like to be a blessing. I've never asked you if I could preach a good sermon. We preach great truth. I'd just like to help your people. I'd like to encourage your people. I'd like us to be able to take what we have and share it with others so they could understand what's so good about what we have. Lord, help us to do that tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want you to enjoy God a while. I want you to enjoy his Bible for a while. I have this statement. There's no hook in the sermon, so hang on. All right. Brother Hiles used to say it this way. Tonight's one of those sermons. We're just going to drive around town with the top down for a while. There's nothing that's necessarily going to be that hard or anything like that. I obviously am a little excited about our new building. I think we as a church are excited. If you haven't driven by it or if you haven't seen it, drive by it, you'll get excited real quick. It won't take you long. You need to see it. It's one of those things when you see it, you go, wow. I mean, it's just wow. Our church is the talk of the area right now. I go into stores. They find out I'm Pastor Bush. They'll say, oh, are you the one building that building? We're the ones building that building. Or I hear this a lot. We've seen your sign. And if you've seen that big old sign Brother Larry built out there, you know that there is not another one like it anywhere in the world. But may I say this? I've been out there. People stop. They pull in the end of the driveway just to watch that building going up. There's something about construction. There's something about building that causes people to get excited. Something about the success of construction. Now, we are not building a church for us to say we are successful. Did you hear that? It's not about me as pastor of this church saying, look at how successful I am. There's not a building in the world that shows anybody's success. Amen. You see, we're building a building so that we can show people how successful God is.
That's good.
By the way, it's not a building that's going to be big and ornate. It's not going to be cathedral-ish. I've been in a few of those places. They're kind of spooky. I don't want to go to church where dead people are buried in it. I've been in a couple of those and thinking, I don't want my office over somebody's laying down there. It just doesn't, something's not right about that, you know? If I wanted to do cemetery work and work in a mausoleum, I'd go do it. I don't want my church to be a mausoleum.
Right.
It is about God and his success. Let me say this, if it is about God and it's not about us, bring in just a little bit and I'll go back to this one for a moment. But if it's about God and it's not about us, then how about we do it the way God wanted? if it's his church, let's build it his way. Now, if it's about us, I'll shut the whole thing down. We'll sell it to somebody else and we'll go out and make an honest living. It is not about us being successful. It is about him and his work being successful. We have to stay focused on the fact that Grace Baptist Church is not a building. Obviously, look at the one we're in. I have preacher friends. I have friends that have been through here. Whether we've had a service or not, they said, that's a miracle place. There ain't no way, reason you ought to be having church in there doing what you're doing. You shouldn't be able to do it. Well, we might shouldn't be able to, but God can. We've had to do what we're doing. Church is not a building. Church is people.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Now, the church is not property. It's not buildings. It's not pews. It's not chairs. It's not PA. It's not lights. It's not windows. Church is about reaching people and doing what God said. By the way, the first pastor wasn't Peter. It was Jesus. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was his church. He pastored it and he started it. By the way, Jesus' first church got to just a little over 100 people. It was 120. It wasn't until Pentecost that it really took off. Till after the death, the burial, and resurrection of the guy that started it. And by the way, I say this often, it was a Baptist church.
Amen.
Catholic Church didn't start till 313 AD with Constantine.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Who baptized Jesus? John the
Baptist.
That wasn't his last name. It's what he was doing. It was a part of the doctrine of the scripture. And by the way, if Peter was the first pope, he had a mother-in-law. And if he had a mother-in-law without being married, he was stupid.
Amen.
Now, the church is about reaching people and snatching them out of the fires of hell, turning them to Christ, and getting them to walk closer with their God. That's the purpose of the church. Baptists aren't Protestant. We didn't come out of the Protestant Reformation in the 1600s. There were Baptists all the way back to the time of Jesus. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. That's what the Protestants are. The Lutherans, Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Church of God, Church of Christ, all of those came out of the Protestant Reformation. Did you know that Martin Luther killed more Baptists than the Pope did? He hated what we believed in. But he wanted to be the Pope. He was mad somebody else was, so that's why he started the Lutheran Church. He didn't think any one person should. Now, God tells us in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18, something very interesting as I was reading here a few weeks ago. Notice the last part of the verse. It says, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. God says, let me show you what my buildings are like. Notice he says, walls salvation, gates praise. In other words, he was talking about the building of a building. Actually, it's in reference to heaven. And I began to see that when it said walls. And notice that the word salvation is capitalized and the word praise is capitalized. I said, he's talking about a specific place and specific things. That's not in general speaking. And I began to think of other verses that go with this that I'll share with you tonight. And I'm going to show you what God has to say. I call it God's building. Are you ready? Number one, the walls are salvation. Folks, I got saved as a 4.5-year-old boy. I was in a primary church at the Canton Baptist Temple. Man got up. He was a Vietnam vet. It was in 1971, 1972, during the war. He had his leg shot off during the war. He literally had a wooden peg leg. Mr. Humphreys. He got up in primary church, got up and preached on hell, and how that if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to a place called hell. I, during the invitation, went over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her skirt, and I said, I don't want to go there. We went to the side and knelt down at a little kindergartner-sized chair, and she opened the Bible and showed me how to get to heaven.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I've been saved for 57 years. Or 47 years, not 57. Man. Wow. I have been saved for 47 years, not 57. I misspoke again. After today, it feels like an added 10 years, but can I tell you something? The moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, as a little boy, I was on my way to heaven. I can't tell you how excited I get about that. I hope I never get over the fact that I don't have to die and go to hell. I never have to go to a place where the boogeyman is. I don't have to burn forever in hell. I don't have to fall forever in the lake of fire. I don't have to be a part of that. I get to go to heaven. My name's written down there. I'll walk streets of gold. I'll have a mansion. I'll see Jesus. I'll be with all of the saints of the Bible. I will be there with my loved ones who have been saved. Hey, can I tell you something? Heaven's going to be great. Say, how'd you get it? Not by works. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's not baptism. It's not living a good life. Because we're all sinners, none of us could live good enough.
Right.
See, man's way to heaven is you do it your way. God's way is you're a sinner. You can't do it your way. You got to do it his way. His way isn't joining the church. His way isn't being baptized. His way isn't living a good life. His way is Jesus paid for your sin debt. And you accept him as your Savior to take you there. Hey, even a child can do that. And I did. 9 years later, started preaching. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. I have been preaching for 38 years. can I tell you something? I'm having the time of my life. I was with a man yesterday. And he said, do you really enjoy what you do? I said, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. He said, I thought so. He said, I've never seen anybody as excited about what they do as you are. I said, good. I said, I'm not about to let somebody get more excited about money than I am keeping people out of hell and getting people saved. I'm not about to let the devil's crowd get more excited than me. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? The Bible says that the walls are salvation. Do you know the walls are that which keeps out from what is outside? Salvation will keep out the wrong influence in your life.
Right.
It'll keep the evil and the wrong at bay so that it doesn't just enter and come in and go as it pleases. Can I tell you something? Let's spread the good news of salvation.
Amen.
Let's tell folks about how they can know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. Say, preacher, that takes a little bit of boldness. It doesn't take long. You look at the next person you talk to, and look at them and realize if they die, they're probably going to go to hell and burn forever and ever. It doesn't take me very long to get out of that mode of I'm afraid to talk to somebody I don't know because they might die and go to hell. I'd rather them go to heaven. Now, I'm human. That hand is knocked on, I know, well over a million doors. Probably millions. My first thought, I hope they're not home. I'm human. My wife will tell you, man, she moved. I'm not going to ask, but my wife will tell you, I'm not a bold and flamboyant person by nature. I could be a hermit real fast. I could enjoy it. Give us a log cabin on the backside of the mountain, give me my guns and my bullets, and I take care of the food and the fire. Here we go. Doesn't bother me a bit. But something happened. God put it in me that, but I'm still kind of a shy person by nature. Mom, you hurt my feelings. But when it comes to spiritual things, I'm not shy. Say why? Because I know what the truth is, and if they don't get the truth, I know what's going to happen to them. See, we ought to get excited about being saved. We ought to tell somebody else how to get saved. The walls will keep you from the eternal judgment of death and hell. It encapsulates you for salvation, for a home in heaven. Can I tell you something? Your salvation is to be seen as the structure of your life. There's a song. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's a wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it's justified, redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Can I tell you something? It's wonderful to be a Christian. It was the other day. I walked in somewhere. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning to get a cup of coffee. I think it was Sheets. And I was in there whistling and humming. It was 5:30, quarter to 6. And this guy's just looking at me. I thought, well, he hadn't had his third cup yet. He said, "You're awful happy." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And if I died today, I know I'm going to be there. And I'm not going to burn in hell. How about you?" Say, what happened? He turned around and walked away from me. I wasn't the grumpy one. He was. You say, "You really do that?" Mm-hmm. "Follow me around." You say, "Why?" I get excited about being saved. Even at 5:30 in the morning. It doesn't take me long. Say, were you feeling that good that day? Man, I hurt. I felt like I did this morning after moving Marcy yesterday. But it is what it is. Now, yeah, I told her this morning publicly, it's the last time I ever move her. Next time we move her, it's going to be in a box. And she's going to be in the box. Because I ain't moving her again. All right? We're going to plant that box, not in the church. All right? There ain't no way I'm sitting on top of that one. No, no, no. All right. So the walls of God's building of salvation, number two. I told you it didn't have to be crazy, but it helps. Number two, the gates are praise. Can I tell you something? Christians have lost their praise. Christians have lost their shout. I thank God for some of you men that shout amen every once in a while. I thank God that we can praise God for what he's done in this place. I'm glad we can get excited about what God's doing. Man, I get excited. I see Don and Debbie down here and see what God's done in their life just in the last couple weeks, and it's miraculous. Good night. 2 weeks ago, both of them were on their way to hell. They got saved. They got baptized. They joined the church. They helped Marcia move.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Don helped her twice.
Welcome to our church.
Yeah.
We moved Marcia here.
Yeah. But we're both done, aren't we? Now, wait a minute. I look at what God's doing. I look at what, you know, can I tell you something? The Bible says that the gates are called praise. You know, you ought to praise God every time you walk in that door and walk out that door.
Amen.
I think a door ought to be a reminder to praise God. Now, I'm not talking about fall on the floor and flip and flop like a fish out of water and talk in some unknown tongue and say all the names of the motorcycles backwards, but can I tell you something? I think we ought to learn how to praise God. I'm not talking about making a show of things. We're not going to have some praise and worship service and everybody up here swaying and swinging and dancing and jumping around like a bunch of worldly rock concert or something, but you can praise God. You can get excited about it. I think we ought to praise God every time we get to go to church. I think after we've been there, we ought to walk out praising what we got while we were in there. We need to praise God and praise each time we go to church and then we get to go there. Oh, we gotta go to church. God bless your pitiful little heart. You need it worse than anybody. I'm glad in my home we didn't grow up deciding whether or not we were going to church. If church was open, we were going. You say, well, I think children ought to have the right to choose. Yeah, right. Put marijuana, heroin, and crack down in front of them and let them choose, right? Can I tell you something? Children need to be taught and trained what to do. the public school's trying to train them away from God. Now they think it's okay. They don't even know which bathroom to use. Everybody doing all right? Amen. Folks, when you was born, it didn't say to be determined. It's very evident. We ought to praise God each and every time we go in and out of the door of our house. I thank God for the place we're renting. Amen? Because our house is being built. I don't even own a house anymore. Hopefully in a couple weeks I will. I know this. I plan on praising God every time I go in, every time I go out. I'm renting a place, and every time I walk through the door, I say, thank you, Jesus, for a place to be. Warm and dry, out of the elements. Every time I walk out, I thank God I have a place to be. Can I tell you something? Now I'm going to get meddling. We got to praise God each and every time we get to go in and out of work.
Amen. That's right.
I didn't say you enjoyed everything about your job, but can I tell you something? You ought to thank God you have a place to go to work.
Yes,
not living on the street somewhere, not collecting unemployment or welfare. I think you say, well, you don't know my boss. You can thank God that he employed you.
Right.
You know, there's only one person in here that's got a perfect boss. And it's not her, it's me. All right. I already knew where that one was going. She just chimed up a little faster than I expected. Now, wait a minute. I thank God for a place to work. You ought to thank God for a place to work. Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? Praise chases negative away. Do you know you won't run your flaps about somebody else if you're praising God? I just go ahead and say it. About that time, this church isn't going to have cliques. We're not going to have these little groups talking about somebody. That's a bunch of trash. I'll break it up in a hurry. I'll jump right in the middle of it and say, what are we talking about? Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Say, preacher, you wouldn't do it, would you? I have, and we lost families in church over it, and I don't give a flip. I don't need that stuff. I'll lose more families by people running their tongues about it. I'm not putting up with that mess. Just like I'm not going to bring somebody up here that does something wrong, stand them in front of you and have them tell you all the bad they did. That's wicked as the devil. You can't fix their problem, and you can't forgive their sin. Only God can. What do you need to know about it? I heard a pastor say, well, there are certain sins that need to be made public. I said, who determined that? I said, show me in the Bible where that is. Well, it's something that needs done. I said, show me where Jesus did that. I said, matter of fact, in the Bible, Jesus said, let him with no sin cast the first stone. I said, what are you doing throwing rocks at people? Let's learn to praise God, not just in church. You know, you wouldn't grumble so much when it's raining out if you'd learn to praise God. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Okay, I know. I went to Midland, didn't I? Told you there was no hook in it, but maybe a little jab. Let's learn to praise God, not just in church. You want to reach people, but it's going to take praise because nobody wants to look at your sour puss. If you look like you've been sucking dill pickle juice, can I tell you something? When I knock on a door, look happy. When you come to church, don't look like you're sucking the dirt off the carpet with your lower lip. I mean, let's get happy about being at church and serving God. There's something good about it.
Well, I just feel so bad, and it's just been a hard week.
Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you. So, Number one, the walls are salvation. Two, the gates are praise. Number three, faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation. And if you can turn quickly, great. But if not, just sit tight. I'll read it out of the Bible as it is. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read just real fast here, first four or five verses. Actually, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ, our Lord, according to his divine power, hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness. Can I tell you something? The first thing you have to have, it says add to your faith. In other words, you've got to have faith in order to add all the other things to it. So faith is the foundation. When we were pouring the foundation for this building, that means we built the platform area for it up. Then they dug ditches in there. And then they poured footers for it. That's the actual foundation. Those footers are the foundation of the entire building. All of the weight of the building sits on that area right there. The major portion of the structure sits, and the majority of the weight sits on that foundation. That foundation was the most important part of that job at that point in time, because everything was to be guided off of that. Can I tell you something? Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please Him. We have got to have faith to please Him. You can do nothing without faith. If you don't have faith, you're going to die and go to hell.
That's right.
I'm sorry. For by grace are you saved through faith. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, God's given to every man the measure of faith. You don't even have enough faith to get saved. God even gave you the faith to get saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, put your faith in Jesus. It's not your faith. It's the faith God put in you. You couldn't even get your own faith to get saved. God even had to give you the faith necessary to get saved.
Praise the Lord.
You see, faith is the foundation of which all of life is laid. Look at our world today. It is a faithless world, and it's violent, it's evil, it's nasty, and it's dangerous.
That's right.
The farther away we get from this book, the worse our world gets. The churches are now more worldly than the world was 45, 50 years ago. Everybody doing okay? I don't blame the world. I blame spineless preachers. Brother Roloff used to say it this way, jello preachers with wet noodle sermons. And that's about what it is. You got, who's the cow dude in Joe Osteen? You say, why are you calling me? Olstein and Holstein are pretty close, all right? But, you know, you got these suave guys that are millionaires because they fleece the people to have all these. If you ever listen to what they say, it's nothing. God's not in it. Oh, they're suave. They sound pretty intellectual. They sound really sweet and nice as he drives and is being chauffeured around in his limousine, living in million-dollar mansions. You can come look at my house, 1,500 square foot being built. It's not a mansion. I'm living next to poverty-stricken people like Marcia. I mean, when you got Marcia as your neighbor, you know where I'm living, all right? Gotcha. Told you I was going to get you back for that comment about your dog this morning. Of course, my last name's Bush, and she was taking the dog out, and she's, oh, he peed on the bushes. No, he didn't. I was at home. Wait a minute. So faith is the foundation. Next, I love this. Ephesians chapter 2. If you get a chance, turn there in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20, the Bible says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. On top of the foundation, you have a couple layer of stone, a couple layer of block. And the cornerstone is the most important. It sets the direction and makes sure everything is square. Now, they lasered ours and did it by all kinds of fancy measures. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the cornerstone. You see, we build on Jesus, who sits on the foundation of our faith. And he is the foundation of our faith. He's not only the foundation, he's the cornerstone. He makes sure everything's in line and everything is square. And everything is as it should be. Can I tell you something? Build your life on Christ. You want to have a stable life? Build it on Christ. look at how unstable our world is, and they try to say that Christianity is bad. I realize, I'm not one of those people that say, well, believe, trust Jesus, and all your problems go away. You'll never have a problem. That's a lie. Tell that to the Wesco family right now. God never promised to keep you from problems. He promised to go through the problems with you. He didn't sin, we did. But in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's right.
He took care of our sin debt for us and said, not only that, I'll help you. We'll work those things out. We'll get through them, but he can't keep us from problems. There are consequences to our sins, but we'll never be judged for them. I'll never face consequences eternally for my sin. Oh, I love this next part. Number five. There's only two left, so give me just a couple minutes. The blueprints or the building plans is the Word of God. Here's your building plans. Here's your blueprints. It's the Word of God. We have page after page after page after page after page after page of blueprints for our building. We have the excavating blueprints, and we have the architectural blueprints. We have the engineering blueprints, and we've got the schematics for the electrical and the HVAC and the plumbing, and there's multiple sets of blueprints for everything. Can I tell you something? God didn't need the Planning Commission of Jefferson County for the Word of God. Thank God. God, Mrs. Barnes will really appreciate this, God didn't need an engineer. He is the engineer. I'm convinced engineers are right down there with politicians and bankers. They're all in this together. Can I tell you something? God already engineered your life, and he put it in the Word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can I tell you why people are dying? And can I tell you why people are living a dead life? Because they're not following the blueprint of the Word of God.
Right.
Folks, they're the ones that are miserable, not us. Man, I'm having the time of my life. God didn't need a stormwater management plan. He built it in called creation. The Bible is our guidebook, and it is the guidebook for every area and every part of our life, whether it is relationships, whether it is work, whether it is our health. It is all in the Word of God. He gave us everything that we need, and it's in the Word of God. That means we ought to read it.
Amen.
That means we ought to learn it. That means we ought to apply it to our lives. I think you ought to memorize it, and I think you ought to be at church to learn more of it. I will use the Bible and its principles only to build lives in my preaching and in my counseling. I don't send people to psychologists, and I don't send people to this specialist in this area of addiction. Can I tell you the best addiction program there is in the world? The Word of God. Guarantee it. I've seen drunks sobered up over the Word of God. Amen, Brother Mike? I've seen drug addicts get off drugs because they got saved and got their life right with God. I've seen sodomites change because of the Word of God. I led a sodomite to the Lord years ago while I was in Indiana. It's a funny story, don't have time to tell it. But that man got saved, came to church, got baptized a couple days later, and he still had the urge to do the wrong things. I handed him a copy of the Bible, and I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to carry this everywhere you go. And for five minutes before you go into one of those places that you go to meet your buddies, I said, I want you to sit down and open the Bible and read it for 5 minutes before you go in. I want you to bow your head and say, God, I want you to bless what I'm about to do. 7 days later, he came back to church, and he said, Brother Bush, he said, I haven't gone into any of those places. He said, every time I sit down and read my Bible and I pray, that urge is gone. I said, the devil hates the Word of God so much, he'll even take that sinful urge away in your life. Last time I had heard, He had been in church for years. He had a lot of people even saved and brought down the aisle and baptized, and I have no idea, lost contact with him. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. We don't need a 10-step, 8-step, 12-step, or 2-step program. You just need to get saved and get in the Bible.
Amen. That's good.
Everybody doing all right? Number next, and I'm done. Not only are the walls salvation, the gates are praise, faith is the foundation, Jesus is the cornerstone, the building plans are the Word of God, lastly, the Holy Spirit is the general contractor.
Yes.
Mr. Jimmy Walker is our general contractor. He's a saved man. And I thank God for Mr. Jimmy, but can I tell you something? I thank God for the general contractor of my life, and that's the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
By the way, the Holy Spirit's been mistaught, misrepresented in our generation. It's not some wild and crazy fly-by-night, wings of fire and everything else. The Holy Spirit of God, the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. You have a dead spirit till the moment you get saved at salvation. Not only did you get saved, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit indwells you. He is in you. He quickens your spirit. Quicken means brings to life. And that Holy Spirit goes with you everywhere, and he will work within the confines of that book right there. He'll follow the blueprints. Our contractor has to follow the blueprints to the letter of the law, or he's held liable and they can shut the building down. The Holy Spirit of God has to follow the blueprint of the Word of God, and he'll guide you in it. There's been times I've looked at Mr. Jimmy and said, Mr. Jimmy, I don't understand something. He said, let's pull it out here. And he goes to a certain page. He says, look right here. This is why we got to do this, because this is coming after this. And then this is, that's okay. I'm not questioning. I just didn't understand. He said, oh, don't mind. I'll show you. But he always goes back to the blueprint. Can I tell you something? When the Holy Spirit starts working, he's going to show you the blueprint. That's why people come to me, well, God wants me to, I had a lady one time, she was married and had kids. She said, God wants me to be a missionary. I said, are you sure? She said, yeah, I surrendered when I was a kid and I'm not doing it. I said, what's your husband and your kids say? Well, doesn't matter, I'm going to do it without them. I said, then you're not right with God. I said, the moment you got married, you put that aside and you're to follow your husband. You should have thought of that before you married somebody that wasn't going to be a missionary. Well, the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. No, he doesn't. He wants you to obey the Word of God.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to give all of your money to the church and live by faith to pay your bills. That's wicked as the devil. Everybody doing all right? Okay. I know I probably just hurt the offering, but I don't give a flip. I want you obedient. Now, I believe your tithe is as much a bill as your Potomac Edison bill is. I believe it's as much a bill as your mortgages. I think we ought to be faithful in tithing, and if you will, God will take care of the rest of them.
Yes.
But I don't go around checking, seeing who's tithing, who's not. Everybody doing all, man, I'm having fun right now. The Holy Spirit is the one that will help us put life together. It's that still small voice when you're about to do something, and he says, hey, stupid, don't do that. Well, he might not call you stupid, but he does me. He's the one that starts bothering you, thinking, should I or should I not? And if you feel that I shouldn't, you better not. He's the one that leads you to do right things. He'll help you make decisions. He's the one who orders the supplies and makes sure you have what you need. Mr. Jimmy's in charge of the order schedule. He knows what lumber's coming in, when it's coming in. He knows what materials are coming, when it's coming. He knows when to order it. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit knows when you need something before you need it. It's already been ordered and on the way. By the time you ask for it, he says, here it is. He's often asking us how we want it so that he can tailor fit it for us. There's been times our contractor said, now, preacher, the plans say this for the inside, but we can fudge on this a little bit. How would you like this? He wants to make sure it's what we want. Not just because some architect put it in the drawings. See how that works? Boy, that's good stuff. The contractor is the go-between us and the big boss. Can I tell you something? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. God said in Isaiah chapter 60, "Thy wall shall be called salvation and thy gates praise." We're building a building, but that building, it's just a people factory. We're to be filling it up with people, not so we can have a big crowd. I'm not interested in the size of the crowd. I'm interested in helping every person we can help. I'm interested in pulling people out of hell, getting them on the road to heaven, teaching them how wonderful it is, and teaching them how to pull people out of hell and getting more people to heaven. Isn't that the purpose of the church? Purpose of the church isn't so I can sit there in my office drinking coffee saying, look how successful I am. That's about time you choke on your coffee. It's not about me. This church is a hospital. This is a church. This preacher's never going to get so busy that he quits visiting people. Did you hear that? Going to their homes and knocking on their door and talking to them. Helping people along the way. Isn't that what it's all about? Thank God Jesus took time for people. He built people. By the way, he turned the world upside down with 12 people. How much more could we do? That's why he said, "In greater works than these shall ye also do." We have a responsibility ahead of us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that if I died, I know for sure I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you could not raise your hand, and you say, "Preacher, I'd like to know for sure," I won't embarrass you, won't call your name. But you'd say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know for sure." Would you raise your hand? All right. And who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul." Dozens of hands. Thank you. You can put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, if you're a lady, you come forward and I'll have a lady talk to you, or a man, I'll have a man talk to you. Take the Bible. In just 2 or 3 minutes, you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, there was something in that sermon for me tonight," you come as far forward as you can here and kneel, or you can sit there at your chair and you get that right with the Lord.